comes from Romans 12, starting at verse 1 and going through to 13. I'm reading from the NIV translation. I'll give you a second to find that. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove that what God's perfect will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace you have given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality.
Morning, everyone. Where's the air? All around us, inside us. Where is God? All around us, also living in us. A human being who is alive has lungs full of air. If air is removed from the environment, the person dies. A human being who is spiritually alive is filled with God. If God is not filling their lives, they are spiritually dead. God relates to us in many ways. He's with us. He's for us. He's under us. He's over us. He's doing a new thing. And there are lots of other ways that he relates to us too. God is infinite. We'll never get to the point where we can say, I know all about God. It's an endless exploration. And that's what makes knowing God so exciting. There's always more. And it gets better and better. Today we're going to look at perhaps what is the most mind-blowing concept of all. God is in us. The creator of the world, the ruler of the heavens, the infinite, almighty God lives in us. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16, we are the temple of the living God. Just as in Old Testament times, God dwelt in the physical building that the Israelites made for him, so today he lives in each and every one of us Christians. I am a temple of God. You, Christian, are a temple of God. There are many passages where Paul tells Christians God is in you. Galatians 2 verse 20. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Ephesians 1 13. You believed in Christ and God put his stamp of ownership on you by giving the Holy Spirit he had promised. Galatians 4 verse 6, to show that you are his children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. Colossians 1, 27, Christ is in you. 1 Corinthians 3, 16, God's Spirit lives in you. What a concept. When we accept the gift of what Christ has done for us, we receive the gift of God living in us. In Acts 2, verse 38, it says, each one of you must turn away from your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins will be forgiven and you will receive God's gift, the Holy Spirit. Some of you might be getting a little confused as you hear all the different names. God is in us, the Spirit of God is in us, the Holy Spirit is in us, Jesus is in us. But as Christians, we only have one God. But he reveals himself in three persons. The Father, whom we usually just call God, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, also known as God's Spirit. When we say that the Holy Spirit is in us, or Jesus is in us, it's the same as saying God is in us. The fact that we need to remember is that God lives in us when we become Christians. When God is living in you, you have infinite potential. There are no ordinary people. And right now you're probably thinking, I know one. But there are no ordinary people. Romans 12, 1 and 2 begins to explore some of the potential that God puts in us. When we accept the gift of what God has done for us, when we allow God to move in, we also give him a gift, ourselves, our whole lives, all that we are. The first step to having God in us is simply to ask him to come in. In Romans 12, 1, it tells us to present ourselves to God as living sacrifices. In the Old Testament, the mark of a person's devotion to God was that he or she presented animal sacrifices to God. Because Jesus Christ died as the ultimate sacrifice for our sins, we don't need to do that anymore. Aren't you glad? I am. When I think of what Jesus has done for me, I want to jump and cheer for joy. If Jesus hadn't been crucified and hadn't taken the punishment for our sins, you and I would have no way of getting close to God. The Jewish people symbolically laid their sins on a goat and then sacrificed it to God to obtain forgiveness for their sins. And they had to do it over and over. Jesus, the Lamb of God, voluntarily allowed himself to die on a cross so you and I could have our sins forgiven. And when we accept the gift of forgiveness through Jesus, then God comes in. God in us makes a huge difference in our lives. The Bible tells us that he transforms us, but he won't do it without our permission. And Paul likens that to giving ourselves as a living sacrifice. A sacrifice used to be presented to be burnt up as an offering to God. We're to present ourselves to God. A sacrifice had no say in what happened to it. We living sacrifices often have a fair bit to say to God about our likes and our dislikes. But when we truly offer ourselves to God, it means we take our hands off the reins of our lives. We're no longer the boss. God is. God moves in. Paul says that the offering of ourselves to God is the true worship that we should offer. I can come here every week and fill up a seat, but unless I offer myself to God, I'm not truly worshipping. I can sing my head off, I can clap and even dance enthusiastically and still not worship because I'm holding part of myself back from God. When I offer myself to God, God moves in. He begins to transform me by changing the way I think about things, I learn to know how he feels about things, and my responses to the events in my life become more Christ-like. The Greek word translated transform is metamorpho. When you offer yourself to God, he will metamorphose. Not sure if that's really a word, but anyway, you can work it out. He will metamorphose your mind. It's a word we use to describe the change from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Simply, you'll become different, pleasing to God in the things you think and do. Do you remember those little toys that kids used to like, and maybe they still do? I don't really know any little kids anymore, enough to know what they like. But they used to be called transformers. A little object, it looked like a car, for example, and you could twist all the bits around, and eventually it would turn into a man. The same pieces could turn into something quite different. Well, that's sort of what God does. He takes a person and he makes them into somebody quite different. But there is a difference between the transformer toys and what God does. God adds a whole new dimension. He doesn't just twist around the same old bits. He adds the gift of his presence living in us and making the changes. He changes the ugly parts and makes them beautiful. Do you want your Christian life to be vibrant and alive? If you do, offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God. Don't try to work out how little you can change and get away with it. Don't be content with the status quo, a mediocre, dull life of coming to church on Sunday, doing your own thing from Monday to Saturday, ignoring the presence of God in your life. A living sacrifice doesn't have to keep on deciding whether to do things God's way or not. A living sacrifice has made the decision. I will always say yes to God. I will allow the God who is in me to lead the way. I found an amazing example of people who offered themselves as living sacrifices in the Open Doors newsletter just recently. The story of Yun Yong and her partner, Chol Hao Ho. And these two had just made the perilous journey to escape North Korea. They saw a stranger. This stranger could send them back. As defectors, they would face severe punishment, including torture and even death. This man didn't brandish a weapon or make any hostile moves. Instead, he placed a bag of food and water on the forest floor. He also left blankets and shelter, and he promised to return. The next night, as Yun Yong ate delicious white rice delivered by the kind stranger, she couldn't help but ask the stranger why he showed them kindness. "It's because of a man named Jesus," came Evangelist Cho's reply. "He's the Son of God and he loves you very much. In fact, I brought you a book about him." For years, Evangelist Cho had been helping North Korean refugees like this young couple. Every day he hiked through the mountain forests. His mission? To save souls. But like most North Koreans he met, Yun Yong and Chol Ho had been taught to hate religion. "Christianity is dangerous and evil," the regime insisted, "and foreign missionaries poison children and steal their organs." And yet, Evangelist Cho's steadfast care challenged this couple's assumptions. In their makeshift tent on the North Korean border, Yun Yong and Chol Ho started reading the Bible. One day, Cho visited with his usual delivery of food. Yun Yong ran up to meet him. "I had a dream," she said breathlessly. "A person called me by name, and I think it was the Jesus that this book talks about. I want to know more. What can you tell me?" And Evangelist Cho smiled. This couple's lives were about to change forever. Cho took Yun Yong and Chol Ho to an Open Doors safe house. Here, North Korean refugees receive food and care and have an opportunity to learn about Jesus. Yun Yong and Chol Ho threw themselves into Bible study. They gave their lives to Christ. And then Yun Yong made an astonishing announcement. "God is calling us to return to North Korea, to share our newfound faith with people desperately in need of the gospel. It would mean extreme danger. North Korea has been top or near the top of the World Watch List, which is the list of places where it's dangerous to be a Christian, for more than 20 years. In fact, it's the most dangerous place on earth to be a Christian. Christianity is completely forbidden, and owning a Bible can mean a death sentence. If a secret believer is discovered, he or she may face torture, interrogation, life in a labour camp, or death. But despite the risk, it's estimated that there are more than 400,000 Christians in North Korea. They operate in secret and meet in small, trusted groups. Now, Yoon Young and Chol Ho are among them. 1 year after Cho first met Yoon Young and Chol Ho, he received a coded message from inside North Korea. It simply said, "Our family has grown to five." To me, that is the ultimate of giving yourself as a living sacrifice to God. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us that we will reflect the glory of the Lord and be transformed, metamorphosed into his likeness. As the slogan goes, it won't happen overnight, but it will happen. Wouldn't you like to be a beautiful person like Jesus? You have to give him permission to transform you. Not only is God in each individual Christian, but he's also in the church as a whole, blending people who are from different backgrounds, races and cultures into one family. Ephesians 2:19 to 21 says, "So then you Gentiles are not foreigners or strangers any longer. You are now fellow citizens with God's people and members of the family of God. You too are being built upon the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets, the cornerstone being Christ Jesus himself. He's the one who holds the whole building together, makes it grow into a sacred temple dedicated to the Lord. In union with him, you too are being built together with all the others into a place where God lives through his Spirit." God is in the church. There is a sense in which we can never completely know God all on our own. He dwells in his church in a special way. We see his reflection in the lives of fellow Christians. He's revealed by the way Christians in his church work together. God, dwelling in each of his people, is especially evident when those people get together to serve him using the special abilities that he gives to each one of us. Just as a body is made of many parts, all with a vital function, so the church is made of many people, all with a vital function. Verse 4 tells us, of Romans 12, tells us, we have many parts in the one body, and all these parts have different functions. In the same way, though we are many, we are one body in union with Christ, and we are all joined to each other as different parts of one body. God living in us doesn't mean that we're all going to be the same. We'll be different, each fulfilling the special purpose for which we were created. You have a special purpose. God created you with that special purpose. Some are gifted as speakers. Some are gifted to serve others. Some are teachers, encouragers. Some have the special gift of sharing. Others are leaders. Others are given the gift of showing mercy or kindness to others. But every one of them is equally valuable if the church is going to be a true expression of God's love, mercy, and his liberating good news. Look around and you see many different gifts being used for ministry in the church. But can you see gaps in the ministry of our church? Sure, I can too. The body of Christ needs every individual in it to be using the abilities he's given us. If everyone is using the gifts God has given, those gaps will be filled. If we wait for somebody else to do it, they may never be filled. But we as a church, if we're all using the abilities God gave us, can be transformed into the beautiful, living organism that God wants us to be together. When we as a church have God in us, our focus will be the same focus that the early church had: Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified for us and rose again, and through whom we have new life. That is what we as a church have to offer others: new life, because Jesus died. We individually will have the same focus that the founder of a mission organisation that reached to many nations had. He said this: if Jesus Christ is God and he died for me, then there is no sacrifice that is too hard for me. The message of Jesus Christ on the cross is the message of God with us, God for us, God in us, God doing a new thing in us. It's good news that can change lives, can change communities, and can change countries. As a church, are we committed to focusing on the risen Christ Jesus? Or are we committed to just meeting our own needs? The God of love is living in us. Therefore, we too will love others and respect them. God in us gives us abilities to serve, but he wants us to do it with love. Love for others, love for God. Sometimes we as Christians need a reality check on our motivations for service. Why am I serving God? Is it just because I'm in the habit of doing this? Is it because someone put a bit of pressure on me and I feel as though I should? Is it because I want to impress other people? Or is it because I don't think anyone else can do it as well as I can? Ha. Or is it because I love God and I want to express my love for him by serving him? That's what presenting our bodies as living sacrifices means. Serving God is part of worshipping God. Worshipping God is part of loving God. Do you love God? Then serve him. Do you serve God? Then do it out of love for him. Verse 11 in that passage, Romans 12, tells us, serve the Lord with a heart full of devotion. Serving God because you love him is a joyous thing. Watching God use the things he asks you to do is joyous. A lady I know told me that the week before she left on a trip, she'd asked God to let her do an act of kindness for someone. So while she was pulled up at the petrol station, she saw a young family whose car had broken down in a major way. She heard them wondering how they'd get to Toowoomba. She offered them a lift. And she did it with such joy because the God she loved had given her an opportunity to serve. They're not always big things that God asks us to do. Small things are acts of service that show our love for God. Acts of service done with joy and love are expressions of the God who lives in us. A whole church filled with people who are loving and serving God and others, we won't be able to stop people from wanting to come to a place like that. God is in us. Let's give ourselves as living sacrifices to him. Let's allow his love, his joy, his hope, and his respect and care for all people everywhere to flow through us. He went to the cross for us. He gave his life for us. Let's give our lives back to him in love and devotion.